can we get a formal mover and a seconder of a minutes of the second of a
I propose that they adopt it.
Okay. Can we get a formal move, a seconder?
Madam Chair, I think I'm going to adopt it.
Can I don't know how was the, well, I'm coming from the other sector and the other committee, is that we will use the mic and say, I'll make an example, from the Afghanistan Congress formally moved because it must be recorded. At a particular time, somebody decides to challenge, so we have got a proof that. So we do have a, thank you very much. We'll then go to the minutes of the 3rd of July. The formal mover.
Honorable Chairperson, Ms. Busiso Mtabe, I formally move for the adoption of the minutes of the 3rd of July 2019.
Let me get a second.
Angie, I'm Aloysio Law in the 5th class and I think that we adopt the minutes.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Then we will then go to our program. There is our program, which we are in the middle of it, which on the 2nd we elected a chair, on the 3rd we were briefed by the department. Today we are considering our report. Then the next page, which is the 17th of July, we'll be considering our legacy, of considering the legacy report from the 5th Parliament. I think it's important that members will indicate if they do have that, because it is that report that is then going to empower us in well understanding what the last committee was to, what are the things that are outstanding. Because we're not just going to start as if there was never a committee before us. So we are to take, as much as there will be some other programs and processes and activities that we're going to be engaged on, but it can't be as if there's nothing that has been done by them. So next week, that's what we're going to do. And then we will have a strategy. We'll have a planning. We'll delete the strategic planning of the committee for the remainder of the year. I then put the program to the committee for adoption.
Okay. My name is Nceba Yinana, the Democratic Alliance member. Yeah, well, for the 24th of July, we said that we are omitting strategic.
Yeah, we're just deleting, it's just the planning. How are they going to plan?
Reason being.
Come again?
Reason being for the omission of strategy.
No, there's another process of the, it was just a, what should I, So that's a mistake that word was there, because there are other processes of that we're going to be engaged on. didn't get on.
Chair, just a question of clarity. Whilst we received notification that there would be a special NA meeting on the 10th, and in our previous discussion was that we'll be having a budget vote, a debate on the budget vote on the same day. Now, can you be clarified as to how are we going to proceed with that?
You mean the notice that the special plenary? We will attend the that special plenary. My understanding is that it's about 30 minutes. It's from 9 to 9:30, and then after that we will then adjourn and then continue with we will go to the allocated venue, which is the old assembly, for our budget vote. Our budget vote will still start on the allocated time and venue. So that notice in terms of the ad hoc committee that is to be, because it's one of those committees that then the house is to. So it will still continue with our budget vote.
My clarity, second question, Chair, was that the date of the budget vote is omitted on this program.
Okay, my apologies. We should have forgot to the Secretariat to say there's an updated one, not this one. So we'll circulate this. Our apologies. With those clarities, so that can we get a formal move on?
My name is Bongile Zuma. I move the adoption.
Can we get a formal second? Ingram?
I'm happy to accept that. Second, thanks.
All right. Can we then, having dealt with that, can we then go to our report? Oh, all right. Committees, they differ from one committee to another. Being empowered is that the content advisor in labor will take us through. Okay, we will learn as we are. But what I think is important from the chair, well, we'll deal with that at some other time. What I think is important from the chair's side is that members will see that the report is just, this report, there are areas that are just as what was then presented by the department. We don't have any right to omit. It's when then we go to our observations and our recommendations. But he is then going to take us through on that. I'm not going to be arguing that maybe at some point, but let's then start with then over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. The report that we are dealing with is titled Draft Report of the Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labour on Budget for 2018. Labour, the strategic plan of the department, and the annual performance plan of the department, 2019/2020, dated 5 July.
Sorry, Chair, just why don't you put the mic a little bit closer on the
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. report has seven paragraphs. The first paragraph being the introduction, and then the second one, they were dealing with the strategic plan of the department. And then the third one is the section that is dealing with annual performance plan. And then the fourth paragraph is the section dealing with the budget of the department. And then the fifth paragraph is the one that is looking at the supported employment enterprises. And then the sixth one is looking at our committee observations. And then the seventh one talks to our committee recommendations. So as the chairperson has already mentioned, that the other sections of the report reflects what was presented by the department to the committee. So I think we have two options. It's either to go through the whole report page by page, or just look at the committee observation and committee recommendations, because that is actually the part that has been included by the committee, the rest being the part that was presented by the department to the committee. So I'm not sure which route we are going to take. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. That's the question in front of the committee. Should we go page by page, or go to our observations and recommendations? Because that's where we are going to deliberate. In fact, as members. Honourable Chair,
just for the benefit of understanding the writer, yeah, you can just do a rundown of the document and then up to the conclusion. Yeah.
So you are suggesting that we do page by page?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if it's not specifically word for word.
Honourable Kaman.
Greetings and thanks to the Honourable Chairperson. I think I have a contrary view, Chairperson, because the report was presented before us in the last meeting. So my submission will be that we should zoom in into the committee observations as well as the recommendations. I thank you.
Honourable Baker.
So I agree with that second view, because we received this by email. We all read it. We did our homework for this meeting. I think it would waste a lot of time to go through what looks like 30 pages of this. It wouldn't be right. If someone has a question, then I understand. But over to you, Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Can we then do... I noted your hands up. What?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. I think I'm covered, because those is my first time, but I think if this was presented in comments, so there's no need to go back. Yes, so I support that and just get into these recommendations and other presentations.
Yeah. Notwithstanding the fact that if somebody wants to ask a question, can then refer us to that particular page or paragraph. Okay, thank you very much. I hope you understand that members are saying let's zoom to our committee observations and recommendations.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, committee observations are on page 11, paragraph 6. So it reads, having engaged with the department, the committee made the following observations. 6.1, that the department incurred irregular expenditure amounting to 275,657.79 and fruitless and wasteful expenditure amounting to 129,091.84. There was no unauthorized expenditure detected. Item 6.2, that a mismatch between available job opportunities and available skills is a major driver of unemployment. Then 6.3, that Tucson services centers close to any which makes them inaccessible to some community members. And then going to page 12, 6.4, that the reconfiguration of the department might lead to the expansion of its mandate, which might strain its budget. This might put more strain on the inspection and enforcement services program budget. And then 6.5, that the occupational health and safety cases that require formal inquiries to be conducted get delayed because of court processes involved to the detriment of beneficiaries. 6.6, that attempts have been made to register bogus trade unions so as to represent aggrieved employees at CCMA proceedings at a fee. 6.7, that the Productivity South Africa received 54.6 million for 2019-20 financial year, which, while it is faced with a task of assisting struggling companies to turn around so as to avoid retrenchments.
Can we then stop there a little bit and engage with our observations before? Because if we do both, we'll create a little picture. Those are our observations, honourable members. Is there any issue that members want to honourable Kako?
Thanks, Chair. Just in relation to observation 6.4, that the reconfiguration of the department to include employment might lead to the expansion of the mandate, which could strain its budget. I agree with that. I just wanted to understand the rationale for linking that to inspection and enforcement services. I would have thought that the expanded mandate of employment would have put more pressure on Program 4 around labour policy and industrial relations. And surely the focus on employment is all about thinking of how government can assist the private sector to create jobs, and therefore it will have much more of a sort of a policy thrust and focus. But perhaps the content advisor can explain to me why it's been linked to the program on inspection and enforcement services here. Thanks, Chair.
That's the view that inspection and enforcement service program that been linked with that. Is there any honourable choice?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Since it is implicit that irregular expenditure is sometimes authorized, because you say there was no unauthorized expenditure, already there is irregular expenditure. What I think we should do now is just to put pressure on the Auditor General, just to make a follow up. And these people that are always authorizing the regular expenditure should be doing for such a day. That's what we should do. Look into that. Thank you very much.
I didn't want to take you off. Can we just focus on what Honorable Kako has proposed, so that we don't worry in Honorable Chaisa, just hold on your view on irregular. We're on 6.4. Is there any, before maybe the content advisor respond and we see how best to move forward, Honorable Nonsele, Honorable Baker, if your hand was up, and Honorable Mbande, in that order.
Honorable Chaperson, that's Nonsele. Unless Chaperson, there is a feeling that in addition to that program, other programs should be perfected. The summary or the observations, a higher reflection of our discussion in that particular day. So my argument would be rather not to seek to displace what has been captured. If in addition to that you would want to add the area, yeah, then I wouldn't have a problem. But however, the caption as it stands currently reflects our discussion.
Just to add for the benefit of the members that are going to speak, remember that everything, even this, is to be. How are we going to be confident? I'm making an example. How are we going to be confident that departments? I'm making an example because employment is cutting across in all departments, and factories and business are going to adhere to. So they are also to be inspected. So I'm saying it. I don't think it's really a displacement more than us wanting to, as from the start, so that we're not caught at the end of the term, we pick up that, oh my God, we've never inspected this. An example is that, for example, entry workers at an entry level are not, experience is not a requirement. So I didn't. So I think what Honorable Nonzele is proposing, that instead of deleting that, we then add policy and other. So honorable members that are then going to speak, we then have to also deliberate on that. It was Honorable Bakram, then it was Honorable.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quite frankly, all of these leave me underwhelmed, but let me just comment on 6.4. Can I make a suggestion to change this? Take the last sentence out and then put a new sentence, and I quote, "This might put strain on the entire budget of the Department of Labor." Because I'm going to argue just now that the CCMA is completely under utilized and completely overburdened, and they don't have enough money. So, I mean, to worry about enforcement services, yes, but the entire department's going to be under pressure. So, I think that would cure the problem ascertained by the previous speaker and the Honourable Carter as well. Thanks.
Honourable Chair, I'm a bit covered on the issue of the point you raised in dealing with the issue of the Inspection Enforcement Services Program. However, the issue of the entire department being overwhelmed by the inclusion of the employment another sector into it, take into account that there would be an issue of reskilling of the existing workforce in relation to fourth industrial revolution. Thank you.
Can we then agree that the entire department, okay? Then there was a point that was raised by Honorable Jaisa in terms of 6.1. Can you, so that members say, do you want to repeat it, Honorable Jaisa?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman. I was just saying, since there's always this irregular expenditure, therefore irregular expenditure means now that someone has just authorized that because it has just gone on. Then I was saying therefore that perhaps now we should put pressure on the Auditor General that these people that are always authorizing irregular expenditure should be followed up, then they should be charged, then just put pressure, which we encourage the Auditor General make use of his powers according to the act that has been amended. Because we cannot tolerate the fact that departments always go for these irregular expenditures and nothing is done under that. Thank you very much.
You won't mind if we pack that, because that will fall under our recommendations. So pack it, then then when we come into recommendations, if it's not reflecting in recommendations, we'll then end. Any other comments on our observations, Rebecca?
Thank you. I just got two comments. I can make millions, but 6.1, shouldn't we be observing that what we see over here is just the same as what we've seen for the last 5 years from the department? That's the first one. And then 6.2, that's a real understatement of note. There's a mismatch between available job opportunities. I mean, it's to say it's a mismatch is almost like apple pie. I mean, why don't we just explain that we note that the workforce is not qualified to take over the new jobs that are being offered? Every day we open newspapers and there are jobs offered, and every day we read about 10 million people unemployed. And to say there's this mismatch is like saying, oh gosh, we think we might have a little bit of a problem. Meanwhile, we're the worst in the world. So I think maybe rewrite that to make it quite a radical statement, saying that the Department of Education and the Department of Labour need to work more carefully together to ensure that the workforce in 10 years' time will be there to take jobs in the fourth industrial revolution. Thank you.
Is it fair, honourable members, to say the workforce is not qualified? Would it not be proper to say some? Because I don't think even that 10 million that is not employed, it does not have the skills. But you are proposing a reformulation of I hope members were. Oh, let's do this, Honourable Baker. Can you put it in writing now, if you are able to do that, so that when we are to adopt the report, we then go through that, so that everybody understands. Because you are proposing a rewriting of that. We are still going to come back to that, because I don't want us to miss it. And if you... Okay.
I just want to put one word in. There is a radical mismatch available job opportunities and available skills. Thanks.
Are we fine? Are we chasing?
I just want to be corrected here in my interpretation. Perhaps this mismatch means there are jobs available, but the people that are looking for jobs have skills that are not relevant to the job. Then it becomes a mismatch. I just want to get it correct, continent by the two chapters. That's what you mean. Available jobs, but not people that have skills now, their jobs are not required, rather their skills are not required by these many jobs. That's what you mean. I just want to do that.
If we are noting that, can we get another? Okay. Then do you want to have a cut off?
Chair, I just wanted to make a general comment about this list of observations. I think it's a fairly mixed bag of observations of things which have major and minor importance. It might be useful to have a kind of a tiered list of our observations. So, for example, if we started with observations that observed the structural drivers of unemployment, which go far wider than that which is mentioned in 6.2, then move on to general observations about the major challenges facing the Department of Labour, and thirdly, observe the major challenges facing the entities that the department has oversight over.
The advantage, sorry, without you must bear with us. Can I put that across to the committee? You have to bear with us that first, in particular, the latter. The entities we haven't received any, because of time, that entities come to present. That's number one. Number two, the advantage of the two of you is because you are retaining members in this, you have got far more insight than us, which I'm not saying that thing is bad, But it then means in this first meeting, you will then have to just bear with us. And I think in the next quarter, we'll find our feet. So if in your, if you want to make proposals in terms of what is to be added, I'll make an example as in 6.2 in terms of the observations. If members are fine with the additions, which I don't think we'll have to contest that, just one, two lines, and then give them to the content advice. I hope members they do understand. Yes, you have got that responsibility of taking us through, but bearing with us that majority of us are interacting with the program and the activities of the Department of Labor in terms of the reports for the first time. Honorable Hina?
Chairperson, on the very same 6.2 issue, I'm observing as well that if we do agree that there are job opportunities and yet the skills, the people that you have don't match what is needed there, it means therefore we need to design a mechanism that is going to bridge that gap, that the job are available. But those people who are unemployed, who are looking for jobs, don't have the relevant or the necessary skills to be to access those opportunities. Therefore, it means in between that it is what is missing, and it has to be therefore the responsibility of this committee to make the recommendation of how to bridge that gap, because you can't have the jobs available and people who are unemployed, but the two don't match.
Can I assist? We're dealing with observations. Then when we come to recommendations, then you will factor that in. If in your observation it's not appearing, but now can our focus be on what we have observed? Then, which you are correct, when we will be dealing with observations, up with recommendations. Recommendations must speak to what we have observed in a particular point. I hope.
No, that was my point, Chairperson, that I'm observing that the jobs are available. People are not working, and I'm observing the gap in between. This is what I say, that when we go to the recommendation, we'll have to talk about that gap.
Honorable
Chair, my only concern here on 6.2, Chair, is that in as much as I would agree that is one of the drivers of unemployment, this mismatch, but the framing of this sentence to say is a major driver of unemployment, then it's a bit problematic, because you have quite a number of other contributors, including the contraction in the economy, which basically contribute quite more significantly to the jobs. Because let's make an example. You would have Sunday Times running about 75 posts or 100 posts that are vacant. That equates to 100 people being employed, not 5,000. You may have 5,000 people applying for those 100 posts, but at the end of the day, you have 100, not 5,000. You would still have a drop in terms of reduction of your on unemployment. So in a way, the formulation, if it can say, is the one of the major drivers, then it acknowledges that is one of the major drivers, rather than to say exclusively in the manner that is phrased. I think that's the point, so that we accept that there are other drivers, including the collapse in the various sectors, particularly manufacturing, construction, and other sectors that have seen quite severe decline over the past quarter. Yeah.
Honorable Hina? We have got two formulations, Mr. Honorable Speaker. Have you managed to? You suggested radical. Honorable Nonzele is it's one of the major drivers. Can we try to reconcile the two?
I agree with Honorable Nonzele on his notice, but it doesn't omit other major reasons that are contributing to this. Only here that you're saying that is one of the major. There are others without listing them. So I think that it covers, if we wanted to list them, many others that are contributing to this address.
Well, thank you very much. So we are agreeing with it's one of the major. Okay. Any comments on member?
Jane, thank you. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of our observations as well was that the CETAs have failed this week. And Honorable Bagram, I think he mentioned it, and that would also go to the recommendations that the CETAs are looked at and that they receive the necessary attention. I'm not sure if anyone else remembers that, but I'm sure we spoke about the CETAs and the problem with it.
Can you switch the issue of the CETAs came in a deliberation by the department in terms of, because remember, CETAs are not in the scope of labour and employment. They are in another sector, which is higher education and training. And they were never mentioned in the report. If we because it then means we have got a responsibility as the committee to again, because the minister was just put it so we'll have to at a particular point whether is it relevant for CETAs, make an example, to be under higher education and training, or should they go to labour because of APCD? So here, because it is an APP that was presented, which never had a topic or a brand around the issues of CETAs. But you can note that for another time. It's an irrelevant point for now, but it's not that it's not a good point. Any other comments on observations? Honorable Yinan?
Listen, it's on 6.5. That the occupational health and safety is one of the major contributing factors on making those people who are supposed to benefit from their cases against the department or against the employer get delayed. And I think therefore we need, when we get to the recommendation, to get a mechanism of how to speed up that process. Because sometimes a person who is injured or who is sick takes a very long time to recover, and by that time that person has got the family that he has to look after. But because the case is still in court, which has got a huge backlog, but when we do engage with the in recommendation to see how can we make the recommendation to speed up the process so that out of one person who is not working because of sickness or injuries, not the entire family is also gets affected as well, but the process is speeded up.
When we talk about Now, the price that you have raised, which they are buying, will then, when we come into the communication space, for us to be addressing 6.6, this is what we as committee, and I'm recommending that we put as recommendation for the benefit of the department, for the department to be able to do. So I don't want to ask and answer questions today. Did you go through this? So that I am thinking of the request for the
Thank you.
if then there are none, when we come towards the end, we then deal with some of those. If then we are fine, can we then go to our recommendations, which is point 7? Can you take us to the recommendations?
Thank you, Chairperson. Our recommendations are on page 12, paragraph 7, committee recommendations. In view of the above observations, the committee recommends that the Minister of Labour considers the following. 7.1, putting measures in place to ensure that irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure are not incurred. 7.2, establish a partnership between the Department of Employment and Labour and the Department of Higher Education and Technology to ensure that relevant skills are provided by training facilities. 7.3, ensuring that the two song centers are accessible to the majority of the communities. 7.4, that the Inspection and Enforcement Services Program budget is increased to accommodate the possible expansion of mandate. 7.5, ensuring that the department work with the Department of Justice and Correctional Services to address delays in occupational health and safety cases. 7.6, strengthening the Office of the Registrar to ensure that it discharges its mandate effectively. Then 7.7, funding the Productivity South Africa appropriately so that it can perform its duties. Thank you.
There are the recommendations of the honourable member. Any comments, additions, deletions? Honourable Yuna.
Thanks, Chair. As a measure for, in particular for 7.1, as a measure that had to be put in place, I recommend that we introduce the consequence management, that somebody has to take a responsibility if there are irregular expenditures that have been detected, so that we stop in the next future for anything related to that happening again. So I recommend that the consequence management be enforced.
Any additions, Honourable Nontai?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Chair, maybe firstly I just need to just again to correct and to apologise. I meant to say 7.5 instead of 7.4 when I was making that earlier contribution. I'm not sure, Chair. I want also to make a contribution on 7.1, but with regard to the powers that the Auditor General has been given dealing with issues relating to irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the enforcement powers that the AG has now, whether, for instance, in addition to what Honorable Inanna, can we also, in addition to that, to reinforce 7.1 such that we give a fullest expression to what the powers currently the AG has in enforcing these outcomes, audit outcomes, particularly with regard to these areas that is of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure.
Any other comments on that, Honorable Kago? Oh, okay. If we are fine with that amendment or the addition 7.1, can we then get Honourable Kago?
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to suggest that we include in the recommendations greater focus on the employment and job creation aspect of the now expanded portfolio, and recommended something around a transversal approach to collaboration with other government departments. there's a mention in 7.5 of the need for the department to work with the Departments of Justice and Correctional Services on occupational health and safety. But one of the things that we in fact even heard from the minister when he addressed us on Wednesday was the need to collaborate with the likes of the Small Business Development Department, for example, because job creation is going to come from entrepreneurs, from small and medium and micro enterprises, and I think it would be a good idea for us to recommend that more broadly the cooperation that takes place between government departments to address issues of mutual concern should include small business development so that we can really unlock the potential of entrepreneurs and small business people to create jobs.
Are you listening to you? Are you having an edit a recommendation outside this one? Because this one also is to be, in my view, I'm sorry, it's to be a standalone issue of justice and correctional services. That's why I'm asking
an edit.
Okay. Would you then, for the benefit of the committee and the content advisor, could you just table something so that it is then an edit point? Thank you very much. Any other comments on recommendations? Honourable Brigham, Honourable Nontsali, in that order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you can go through to 7.3, that's ensuring the two SOM centres, I will actually ensure that the entire department is more accessible to the majority of the communities, not just the centres. We're finding that across the board, that these centres are not accessible to the communities. I know there have been millions of complaints about UIF, workmen's compensation, CCMA. People are finding they don't have accessibility. So I would put in ensuring that the department centres, leave out Tucson, are accessible to the majority of communities. Then 7.4, that the Inspection and Enforcement Service Program budget is increased. It's not just the Inspection and Enforcement Program. Again, I want to refer to the CCMA. And the Minister has said that they're desperate for a bigger budget. So I would look up, Inspection and Enforcement certainly need a bigger budget. And that I agree with, but I would add the CCMA to that one. And then strengthening, 7.6, strengthening the Office of the Registrar to ensure that the Registrar's mandate effectively, I would go one step further and not only destroy the mandate effectively, but is independent from interference from the Ministry. Because we've had problems with the previous Registrar. There was a court case recently, about a year ago. Previous registrar had been interfered with, and the minister had dismissed him. He was reinstated by the Labour Court. And one doesn't want just the office strengthened, but strengthened to the sense that you don't want interference. And then the funding of 7.7, the funding of Productivity South Africa appropriately, I'm not so sure we should even be putting that in. I have a problem with Productivity South Africa in that we're spending a lot of money and we're not seeing much results at all. I don't think it's worth the money we're spending on it. I'd rather take Productivity's money away from it completely and put it into the CCMA or inspection services. Just my comments there. Honourable
Nelson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. My point is on 7.4, just in addition to what Honorable Bakran has raised on 7.4, my point, Honorable Chairperson, was to say, can we agree that the principles that were established when we were dealing with 6.4, that is, seeks to be all-encompassing in dealing with all the programs of the department, should in fact be expressed in a similar manner on 7.4. That's the first point. But also the second point is that we have an
and understanding with the department that the department would, in fact, in line with the revised or expanded mandate, that is the new mandate, would again come back to make a presentation to the portfolio committee with regard to how, for instance, it intends now to fulfill the obligations as stated in its additional mandate. So if when reformulating 7.4, if we can capture those two additional aspects.
I want to make a humble plea. Well, I agree with the independence of the registrar. I think that's good. I was to just say we are recommending that the registrar is to be independent. That I don't think it's any doubt. But with 7.7, give us time, because we are also to understand what is this what is this monster called Productivity SA, so that in taking it out of here because of your experience, I will say it's a bit unfair to us. And because it is putting it in the recommendation, it's also going to enable us to then to the minister to say, can the department explain what exactly it is? So we can't take it off. My view is that we can't take it off our recommendations on the basis of your observations. It must be on the basis that what you have observed, what all of us have observed, what all of us have been exposed to, we then said, then we agree that this, whether it's an entity, whether it's a unit, it then must. We don't understand what is its role and its responsibility in the Department of Labor and Enforcement. So I think it will be unfair. It really will be unfair to all of us, because we are learning. So that's why I'm saying you are the two that have been here. So allow us to be exposed to all these things, so that if we are to agree on X, we agree on X on the basis of all of us having understood what a particular unit or entity in the Department of Labor and Employment is doing. Honorable Pinker?
I'm not going to argue with you. I stand by my recommendation, but obviously I'm not in the majority. Can I add two further recommendations, if I may be so bold to do that? The first one being that and I think it's common knowledge and common in South Africa that both the UIF and workmen's compensation have treated the public badly. There's been approximately 20 years of problems with both workmen's compensation and UIF. I know that the department is now changing its computer system again from Umhleko to something else. I can't remember the new name, but we were promised year in and year out that they were improving and getting better, and every year they promised us it's going to be perfectly working. It doesn't work, and I get about 20 complaints a day, and I mentioned this to the director, who's a little bit upset because I'm filling his inbox for him. So I think a recommendation from us should be, otherwise we sticking our head under the sand like an ostrich, should be that they must sort out these systems. The people are out there and they get injured and they just never get their money. I spoke to a man this morning who hadn't been paid for 21 years. So that's the first recommendation. The second one I wanted to add is something that is a bit of a bugbear, and I know Kasato has been on about it, but we changed some of the legislation with great fanfare last year, and it got implemented apparently on the 1st of January this year, and yet you still can't get your paternity leave. The department has been absolutely reckless. They've done nothing. They haven't put their paperwork together, nothing. It doesn't help for Parliament to debate for 3 years, for both houses to pass the legislation, the president to sign it, and for it to
department's not ready. I'm not sure what, for 3 years I knew it was coming, paternity leave, for instance. I go through all of them on the board of this house. But if you go through all of it, and for 3 years, and now they say they haven't got regulations yet, now they're promising it's coming in August, I wouldn't hold my breath. So just as a second recommendation, that when the Houses of Parliament pass legislation, the department should get its house into order. Thank you.
Honorable Dabe.
Thank you, Chair. Some call me Mugabe. Chair, on recommendation 7.3, the recommendation emanates from the observation 6.3 as per the discussion. So it's intact as it has been recorded, and it reflects our observation. But secondly, Chair, I don't think it would be proper, you will bear with me, that we start adding recommendations here which were not presented to us. As far as the report is concerned, the entity of UIF has not come to this portfolio committee to make a presentation on its functioning, its efficiency, its effectiveness, or the challenges that they have. Therefore, if we start making recommendations based on what is in front of us, which are irrelevant to this report, we'll be making a gross mistake. Thank you, Chair.
Can I try to make a plea? And I'm going to sound it as a broken record. Is that we maybe it really necessitate that after this, because in the first place, this APP, majority of us are getting it at the middle. It's an APP that has been there before this. Now you do have members that have got that have been exposed to it and exposed to some of the things. Would it not be proper just to, because the issue that Honorable Baker is raising, it's not that it's not relevant, but the challenge is that the issues that he's raising, they have not been put in front of the department, for the ministry, and the department led by the DG to say this and that. So I think it's unfair, and I want to, and until I'm told otherwise, it is unfair to put a recommendation on the basis of some, and it's not about majority. Can I put this straight? It can never be about majority. It is about us being at the same wavelength as all of us. So to, when I'm myself, I'm still, I'm taken by surprise. Oh, this bill, it was adopted. Has the department not yet implemented? Because I know it is, but I've not been in the space of labor. So first thing that I want to correct, that when we're raising issues, it's not about majority, it's about fairness, and for us to be able to understand. So what can I'll make a proposal. I'm putting a proposal to the committee that, in fact, this is immediately after our budget vote, we really have a session with the department to be taken through of all this. And our apologies, because the system, we are put to do things. Unfortunately, we are the first lot to debate, but we have read the books. But what is then the issue is that if we are going to put issues on the basis of having any information and being exposed, I don't think it's fair to members that are in the committee for the first time. And I want Honorable Begram to understand it's not that he is raising things that are not relevant. that they are not important. Yes, they are, but we will. That's what I really want to humbly put upon to the committee. I see your hand is up, Member Osabome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not going to take it any further. Obviously, I can't support it as it stands because I know beyond that. I understand the constraints, and I understand that this committee is only new, and that unfortunately many people don't know the problems that exist with workmen's compensation, UIF, CCMA, I can go on and on. They might not understand it, and I respect that, but I obviously can't support it myself, so you can understand where I'm coming from as well. I understand where you're coming from, and I respect that, but you must understand where I'm coming from. I'm not going to burden this committee with hours of debate on it, but at the end of this day, the committee is going to vote on something, and it's going to be known as the report of the Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labour on budget vote number 28. That's what they're going to vote on. The public are going to see that people voted in favour of that, and that will be then debated in the House, and then the House will pass it. That will be the issue. I can't, in all my own personal conscience, then go forward and say, I agree. But I'm just one voice. And so I respect that, and I respect those that don't have that knowledge about the failures within the department. So thank you.
I've noted you. No, Honourable Member, don't really. No. I think I do have that responsibility of protecting. I've noted you, Honourable Montreal. Don't assume that people don't know the challenges in terms of UIF, labor offices, and all the challenges. My understanding is that we should have these recommendations, fine. We have not engaged the department. The minister was here. If you were fair to all of us, we should have raised that to the at the time that the minister was there. I'm not saying you are raising, that's why I'm saying I don't think you are raising. You're not raising things that are irrelevant and not important. But obviously, which is the nature of the game, if you want to raise when we are in the debate, it's fine. All of us, we will raise our issues, but it can't be that because you have got a more, and there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe if I was in health, I was going to be. But let us be fair to all of us that are here. So it's yeah, no, that's fine. Can we then agree that we will take it on that? We will note that. I think the committee section will note the concerns and the issues that have been raised by members, and then we will then take them. We will then take them forward. We will go and debate on the 10th. It's fine. That's where the terrain of struggle is. It's in the debate, which is then fine. Thank you very much. Honourable Nonzela, do you want to?
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Chair, I think you fairly covered me, but then the point I want just in addition to that, I was worried about is that when the department was here presenting, the Director General, in his submissions, made clear, and we accepted that the entities would, on their own, present themselves to the portfolio committee so that they are able to account with their areas of work. So the issues that relate to compensation fund, CCMA, and all the areas that Honourable Member is talking to fall in that category. And I don't think it would be fair for us to be just generally perceived in the manner that the Honourable Member is saying is correct. Yeah, because we're all present in the meeting and we all accepted the presentation by the Director General. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
All right, with those deliberations, amendments, additions, deletions, can we then get a formal mover? of the report, Honorable Nkabane.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Nabuhle Nkabane. I move for the adoption of the report with the amendments that have been made in this meeting. I thank you.
Can I get a seconder? Honorable Mbande.
No, Chair, maybe Honorable Chair, I will join the Honorable Member from the DA that you said he should assist you in the pronunciation of his surname. I must be one of them as well. Honorable Chair, I rise to second the proposal to adopt the report. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Baker.
We recorded that I don't approve. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much for the benefit of the members. You know, on a lighter note, I was listening to the presentation of the portfolio committee on communications. Okay. I think it was quite a should I say heated. And what I find it very amusing and strange is that the member of the DA said, Minister, I have been in this portfolio committee for some time, maybe for the new members. And I was trying to wait for somebody who is going to say, Tina, we are members. But I'm going to come back again to say, for the benefit of new members, anybody has got a right to, what is the correct term? To say, I am not, can it be put on record that this organization or this person, we reserve our rights for them. So that I want you not to be taken by surprise. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Thank you for honoring the meeting. Yes, we do have some challenges, but in moving forward now, members must have an understanding that there are going to be times that we are going to work over weekends or work extra hours. But thank you very much. Hoping that we are then preparing for our budget vote, which is still going to be on the 10th at 10 a.m. in the Old Assembly. Old Assembly is where we had our induction, parliamentary induction. Honourable Breaker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I do want to thank you because you have shown a lot of tolerance and a lot of give and take. And I do appreciate it. We had a bit of a problem here 4 years ago with our chair. I respect you enormously because of the ability to be able to speak, and I thank you for that. I also want to thank the staff because Zolani very carefully sends messages to us all the time. Come to the meeting, and then he sends an SMS and then an email. And I did complain a few years back that I wasn't invited to one of the meetings, and now I get SMSs on. I've got three lines, and I get it on all of them. So I want to thank him for that because if I miss a meeting, that is really my fault, not anyone else's. So thank you very much to Zolani for all of that work and all his support staff. So thank you.
No, thank you very much. And thank you very much for members to really be tolerant and allowing the chair to be able to steer the ship. Yeah, okay. Enjoy your weekend. And you are still waiting for Chomolik. Sorry, what then the Secretariat will do after capturing all the amendments, if there are any misunderstanding, don't feel bad if they then call you, then they will then circulate the revised version of the report in terms of file of observations and recommendations. It will be 86. Then after that, it's then going to be 86. Thank you very much.